following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach, with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Open your Bible to Psalm 130. I'm going to bounce around in a few different places, but that's where we're going to talk from tonight. Now, I had this song ringing in my head today when I was thinking about this message. And I got to admit to you, I had no idea who recorded this song years and years ago. But some of you will know who it was. And I didn't know all the words, but I knew the hook. How many of you know what the hook is to a song? It's the part you can't get out of your head because it hooks you. And it went like this. I won't try to sing it. There were four or five girls that sang it, but it's this phrase. Tell me what you want. Yeah, you know the song, okay? Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. And I read the lyrics, and some of them weren't bad, but anyway, the question tonight that I want to start with is this. Just tell me what it is that you really want. What do you wish you had maybe a little bit more of or a whole lot more of? Now, don't shout it out. Just on the count of three, turn to somebody beside you and tell them what you wish you had more of. One, two, three. Go ahead. Not me. Tell it to somebody beside you. You know what? When you ask that question to a broad audience, you get things like, well, I wish I had more time. I wish I had more money. How many of you wish you had more money? Anybody? Oh, come on. You're not being honest. Some people say, I wish I had some friends. Some people say, I wish I had a friend. I wish I had one good friend that I knew that I could go to. Some people would say, I wish I had more height. I read a little piece from Greg Laurie's notes from the Harvest Crusade. How many of you were there on Friday? Did anybody go on Friday? Did you hear him tell the story about shrinking? Yeah, he wished that he had his height back, and I think I'm about the same height that he is now as well. But maybe some of you wish you had more wisdom. Anybody got some decisions you made that you wish you'd go back and have a little more wisdom or a little more knowledge, or maybe just down to a little bit more brains? There's a lot of things that we want. There are less things that we really need. Let me tell you what you need. Your greatest physical passion or drive is for the air that you are effortlessly breathing right now, at least most of you. If that flow of oxygen was limited, even if it was just squeezed down a bit, you would forget everything else until you got more air. We all need air. We need food. We need water. We need shelter. We need friends. We need family. We need to belong, whether or not you've kind of gotten over people. I know there are people that have gotten over people because they've been hurt so many times. And they say, I don't need any more people. I don't want any more friends. Friends have done nothing but hurt me. Well, I'm sorry you had friends like that. But you still need to belong. You need to belong to a family. We all need that. But there's one more thing that we really, really need. And hopefully you really, really want it. I'm going to get to Psalm 130 right now. So if you got your Bible open, turn there with me. And I'll flip fast to some others, and trust me, I will read them accurately, but you can turn if you want to. But in Psalm 130, listen to this song. It sounds so much like David. It really does. He says, out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you got your Bible and you can see it in the dark here, read this with me. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, oh, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared, which means respected and honored and revered and loved. Then the writer says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More desperate to see you, God, than I am desperate to see the sun after a long, cold, dark night. Yes, even more than those who watch for the morning. And then the writer turns to his tribe that he belongs to, the people of Israel. And he says, oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. Everybody say mercy. Mercy. Turn to somebody and say, you need mercy. Now, you're not insulting them. They know it too. We all need mercy. With the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Father God, help us to get this tonight, that we need mercy. We need your grace, Lord. We need your mercy. And if there's anybody here tonight Anybody that's watching on the Facebook app or on our church app, or somebody's listening, just watching online, Lord God, if they're hungry for mercy, may this be the night that they plug into the powerful mercy of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll tell you what you need, what you really, really need. You need a Savior. Every one of us needs a Savior. You need the mercy of God. You need forgiveness. You need God. That's what you really, really need. Because we've all blown it. Can I see the hand of the person who's never blown it? Never blown it. We've all blown it. We've all messed up. I don't care what you call it. If you don't even like the word sin, you're still one. You're still a sinner. You're a messer-upper if you'd prefer that. But that messing up called sin and the sin that we all inherited before we ever did anything that was obviously messing up put us in the category of needing a Savior, because we cannot save ourselves. None of us can. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And we might not long for it, but we need it. We need mercy. Every one of us needs a Savior. Every one of us needs forgiveness. Otherwise, if we're not forgiven, you know what? You know where we stay? We stay locked into a debt that we cannot pay. I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, because the averages, the statistics tell us that most of us here, at least more than half of us, would have our hand waving in the air if I said, how many of you have gotten yourself too deep in financial debt? Don't raise your hand. We could all just stand up and give each other high fives while our hands were up in the air, because we've all probably overspent. We might not long for it, but we all need His mercy. We all need forgiveness. And I love the fact that David, I don't know that Psalm 130 was David. It's an anonymous psalm. We don't know who wrote it. But David wrote a lot of songs about forgiveness. And in Psalm 51, we don't even need to turn there. How many of you know that Psalm 51 is a psalm that David wrote after he got outed by his friend for having sex with his next door neighbor? You remember that? Remember the story? And he held it inside for so long. And then finally, in Psalm 51, after his cover has been blown and his friend Nathan, like I said, outed him, and he said, David, you're the man. You've been hiding your sin for a year, and it's time for you to get right with God. And maybe there's some here that you've been hiding the failure. You've been hiding the sin. And yet, probably all of us, I've said this many times, you have things in your past you hope nobody ever uncovers. Things that have been buried you hope nobody ever digs up, which is why you'll probably never run for public office, because they'll find it if it's there somewhere. Even if it's buried, it will scream from the grave that it's buried in. But David, in Psalm 51, he cries out. He says, oh God, please don't take your spirit from me. He saw what happened to King Saul, his predecessor, when God lifted his spirit from him. And he said, oh God, don't let that happen to me. Please don't take your spirit from me. And he says, if I could paraphrase Psalm 51, he says, God, I'm a mess. I'm lost as can be. I don't deserve your mercy. But here I am begging for your mercy. And he says, oh, please forgive me. And then when I'm right with you, then maybe I can help other people out of the same kind of pits that I got myself. In Psalm 32, another one of David's stories, this one, or his Psalms, and this one is where David tells us about the journey that led him to Psalm 51. Because he says in Psalm 32, he said, I was hiding my sin and it was wearing me out. He even puts it like this, my bones were aching inside of me. You do yourself damage when you harbor stuff and don't confess it to God, when you don't give up the sin. You hurt yourself. And David says, I was just wearing myself out. He said, I came to the point where I quit hiding my sin. That's a great point to come to. That's a crossroads in your life where you're moving on to what the Bible would call the best success of all, and that's a godly walk with Jesus Christ. But he said, I quit hiding my sin. He said, I broke my silence with God. Isn't that a great thought? Some of us maybe have been a little bit too quiet with God. We haven't been talking with Him lately about our failures, about our even the thoughts of our mind. Remember, I think it's David in one of his Psalms. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations, the thoughts of my mind or my heart be acceptable to you. And you let your thoughts get away from you. Maybe you've let your words get away from you. You've let words fly that you never thought you'd ever say again, or never thought you'd ever say, period. period. I had a list of things that I knew I would never, ever, ever, ever do as a human being long before I came to Jesus. Oh, I would never smoke marijuana. I'd take aspirins, but I know I never smoked marijuana. And then I crossed that line. Oh, I'd never do hash, and I crossed that line. Oh, I'd never take those pills, and I took those pills. I'd never take LSD, and I did. And I'd never take mescaline, and I did. And I was waiting for the drug that if I'd gotten it, it probably would have killed me, and I wouldn't be here. And God jumped into my wretched life and saved me. You've crossed over lines that you knew were wrong. You never planned to. Maybe you followed the herd across those lines, but you crossed them. And David says he finally broke his silence with God. Here's what he said. I acknowledge my sin. In other words, I named it for what it was. I quit switching the price tags on sin. I quit changing the description of sin, and I just called sin what it was. He said, I owned it. He said, I am the man. And even if everybody else was doing it, there were no more excuses for David. And he turned his back on his sin. And I love this, how he says it in Psalm 32. I confessed my sin. And God said, well, let me think about it for a bit, David. I'm not sure I'm right. No, he said, I confessed my sin and you forgave me. And he uses this interesting phrase. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. Don't those two words mean the same thing? Well, the sin is just missing the mark. The iniquity is like the passion with which you do it. And the impunity with which you do it. It's knowing you're stepping across the line. You didn't fall into sin, you ran into it. It was the rebellion behind the sin. And he said, you forgave the iniquity of my heart. And then David said, in the end of Psalm 32, he said, so please do what I did. Stop being a stubborn mule. He uses that term. He said, don't be like a horse or a mule. Don't be stubborn. Don't dig in your heels against God and be drawn to him. Psalm 103, another one of David's psalm, more from him on this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and please, at this point, I don't know where David was when he wrote this, but he said, don't forget all of his benefits. And he starts to list his benefits, and one of the benefits was this. You forgive how many of my sins? You forgive all my sins. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and remember all his benefits. He forgives all of your sins. And I love this part down in verse 12. He says, and he removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. That's as far as you can get. He lifts them from you, whether you can forget it or not, or forgive yourself. And I hope you can let it go and walk on forgiven. And he says, oh God, you've been so good to me. Forgiveness is everywhere in David's Psalms. He's so grateful that God is so merciful. I hope that's one of the things that you're thankful for God. The character of God, the attributes of God. We've talked about it a couple times down on the beach. One of the most amazing attributes of God is that he's ready to forgive. He's eager to forgive, and he forgives in bushels. He forgives in dump truck loads, because that's what it takes to haul away all my sins. Dump trucks. He forgives all of our sins. His forgiveness is everywhere because all of us absolutely need his forgiveness. Look for it as you turn through the scripture. Daniel chapter 9, verse 9. God is merciful and forgiving even when we have rebelled, Daniel said. Even when we've been stubborn, rebellious kids, God is gracious and he's forgiving. And this, by the way, is coming to a moment this evening where you're going to get to say, oh God, please forgive me. And don't be stubborn like a horse. Don't be stubborn like a mule. Don't dig in your heels when your God wants to forgive you. Daniel knew about this while he was away in captivity. He knew how they got there by just being rebellious. Daniel, listen to him say it again. God is merciful and forgiving even when we have rebelled. Isaiah put it like this. You remember this one. Once you remember it, begin to say it along with me. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. That's the kind of God that we serve. And then there's this one, Psalm 130. Listen to the desperation in what we read in Psalm 130. This is in that pack of psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent, where you're moving on. The pastors here are going to be going through a book together called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And one of the stops in those 15 psalms is this celebration over the forgiveness of God. Listen to the desperation. He said, it was out of the depths that I cried. You can hear the regret. You can hear whoever the writer was looking back saying, when I was in the deepest of pits, in regret and remorse, That's when I cried out to him. And listen to him. He says this. He says, Lord, hear the cry for help, the cry of my heart. And then he says, and I mentioned it as I read through, and I wait for you, Lord, this passionate expectation. God, I wait for you. Let me tell you something. If you're in a deep pit, and if you're in a deep pit tonight, and some of you might be, if you're facing something and you don't know how to get out of it, and you begin right now, tonight, to cry out to God and say, God, I need your help, you need to wait for that help. It might not come in 5 minutes. It might not come by that last song that Hillary and Kate and the Lamberts are going to sing with us. You wait for it like the sun that, what? Surely will rise, because it will come. You wait on God. You expectantly wait, like a person that's waiting for the sun to come up again. Now listen to, that's the desperation, but listen to the celebration. He says, oh, with the Lord, there's mercy. Know that about God. With the Lord, there's mercy when you've blown it again. Can I see the hands of those who believe that before you go home to be with Jesus in heaven, you just might blow it again? Now let me see the hands of those of you that are planning to blow it again. Of course not. But you're just like me, you'll blow it again. And so you wait upon the Lord. With the Lord, there is mercy. You have to know that. You got to run to Him like the perfect, excellent Father that He is. He will never say to you, look, buddy, 17 times is enough for you. Or I've forgiven you 70 times 7. He's not keeping count. With the Lord, there is mercy. He says there is redemption. That means new life. There is forgiveness from all of our sins. But the primo, oh, and I don't have time to do anything but really mention it tonight. The primo, let's call it the supersized example of forgiveness in the Bible, is that story of the prodigal what? How many of you said the prodigal son? How many said the prodigal sons? There were two prodigal sons in that family. One was prodigal in his pride. The other was prodigal in his wayward, obviously sinful living. But there were two prodigal sons, and it's the most amazing story. It comes in Luke chapter 15. The pastors heard a message today from a pastor across town in Fountain Valley, and it was really, really powerful about how to respond to people who have fallen away from the faith. And in the story, in the whole chapter, chapter 15, it starts with a bunch of proud Pharisees saying, there's Jesus again, eating with sinners. You know this to be true. If Jesus didn't eat with sinners, what? He'd always eat alone, wouldn't he? Because that's all there is to eat with in the world. And then they're complaining about Jesus being way, way too merciful to even eat with sinners. It starts with a complaint. And then Jesus said, let me tell you three stories. Two of them are parables, and one of them is likely, possibly a true story. About a shepherd who loses one sheep out of 100. About a woman who loses one coin out of 10. And about a father who has one son that runs away, another one that stays, but doesn't reflect the heart of his father in any way. And it's a powerful, powerful story about how God goes after the lost. How many of you love that about God? He always goes after the lost and the broken and the lonely and the brokenhearted. He loves to go after that which is lost. Why? Because He loves people. And there's nothing in the world but lost people. So he tells a story about the woman that lost the coin. He tells a story about the man who lost the sheep. Then he tells a story about a son that went running away. There's real differences in those stories. The first two, the coin had nothing to do with losing itself. It just rolled off the table, maybe carelessness. We have no idea. The other one is a lamb that goes away. But here on the lamb and on the coin, there's really nothing they can do except wait to be found. But on the son, it's the son that turns around and repents, and he comes back home and he asks his father for what? For forgiveness, for mercy. Dad, just let me come back and work for you. It's a powerful story, and I have a sneaking suspicion that third one is a true story. And maybe either the runaway son or the proud, arrogant, self-righteous son, or maybe the father that ran to the prodigal as he came home was represented in that crowd of Pharisees. And Jesus said, you guys will celebrate over a found coin. Joy lost a cross a while back, a beautiful cross she's had for close to 40 years. And she was, I could almost say brokenhearted. She was so disappointed to have lost it. And one day while I was helping to make my side of the bed, I saw it down there. I thought, oh, I could really make this dramatic in the finding of it. I could take it. It was Christmas. The Christmas tree was up. I could take it and I could hang it on the Christmas tree. That would have been so fun. But she lost it again. And she found it that time. And we celebrated both times over the lost cross that was found. I remember me telling you about a year and a half ago about my lost backpack in New York City. I texted the young man, Chuan, who is in New York, about that today. I said, hey, thank you again for that. And I'm going to be mentioning your name tonight, so tune in. And if Chuan, if you're listening, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And he sent me after you because he wants to save you as well. But God loves to save the lost. And the beautiful difference here is that the lost boy turned around and he came running back to his father. I'm going to invite you to do that tonight if you need to do that. Even if you need to just change the trajectory of your life. You believe in Jesus, but maybe you're not with all your passion pursuing him. Maybe something else has caught your attention. Maybe something else has drawn you away. And it's time tonight to adjust the trajectory of your life and seek the Lord with all your heart. The offer of forgiveness, it's all throughout Scripture. Do you know why it's all throughout Scripture? Because we need it more than anything else. We need it more than the air that we breathe. Amen? We need it more than the food, the too much food that we all still have passion for. Why do they feed us so much food in these restaurants? There's nobody that can eat that or should eat that much food at one setting. More than anything else you need the forgiveness and the grace that only comes through Jesus Christ. You need that gift of salvation. You need that gift of new life that only he can give you. That's why it is all through the Scripture. This is what we really, really, really need. And let me drop one more little verse on you. It's in 1 John. It's chapter 1. It's verse 9. And it says this. Here's how you get it. If we confess our sins, if we own it, we acknowledge our sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not going to play around with the words tonight. All, not most, all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins. And he wants to do that for you tonight. If there's anything you've held on to, if there's anything you just need to confess it to God, get it off of your heart. He put it on the cross. Take it to the cross and let it go tonight. We sang these words tonight. Our sin is great and your love is greater. Listen to this. We sang, I think this was the first song that Hillary and Kate led us in. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. Broken hearts made whole. Sins washed away. We sang that tonight and I pray that that would be true right now. I want you to pray with me as Hillary and Kate come back up. And let's take this to the Lord and let's ask him to be the Savior he wants to be. Let's ask him to forgive what needs to be forgiven tonight. Father God, I thank you that you're so eager to forgive and you're plentiful in your forgiveness. Lord, we know that that door is always open if we come with humbled hearts. And there's someone here that's been doubting that, wondering if you could really forgive them. Father, I pray that you would silence that lie of the devil and let them hear the truth of your word. That if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we put our lives right back in your hands tonight. And we ask you for forgiveness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Keep your eyes closed for just a minute. I want to ask if there's anybody here that just, as I've been talking about this, it just is here. The night is called Resonance. It's resonating in your heart right now that you need to drop something before Jesus. If that's you, would you raise your hand right now? I'm going to speak to you a word of confidence. Yeah, God bless you over here in the cafe. Anybody else? Right straight up here in front of me. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A bunch of hands. I'll stop counting hands. God's counting all of it. And say this with me. Say this out loud from your heart to him, okay? Say, Father in heaven, I confess my sin to you.
And take a moment while the rest of us are silent and just whisper to him what that is right now. Go ahead. Just whisper. You don't have to shout it out. Just whisper it to him. Father, we confess that to you. And so say this with me. Father God, thanks for hearing my confession. Thanks for cleansing my sin. The rest of my life is yours. Give me the strength to follow you and teach me your ways. I love you, Lord, because you hear my prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you're merciful. I thank you for cleansing my heart tonight. I celebrate that. In Jesus' name, I am yours. Amen. 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 Let's thank him. Thank you, Father. Don't ever again, ever, 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 I can't put enough evers in there. Don't ever again doubt the love of God for you. When you recognize the failure, when you recognize the sin, run to him and say, Father, this, forgive this and change me, make me strong now. Amen.
Until you fly away, you and I have the same assignment. Fly around your neighborhood and fly around the block and fly around the workplace and tell people that our God is a merciful God, that he is ready to forgive. Oh, Lord, if you would just, if all you wanted to do was keep track of our sins, who could ever stand? But there's forgiveness with God. Let them know that. You know people who feel the same weight of burden over their sin as you did. Hopefully you don't now because you let it roll over onto Jesus. And they need to know that truth. So, Father God, thank you for this gathering tonight. Thank you for those in this place that have surrendered their life to you and allowed you to do, Jesus, what you said you came to do and to take away our sins and to make us whiter than snow. Thank you, Father God, for the Lambeth tribe, and thank you for Hillary and Kate, and bless them as they continue to serve you, Father. And bless us as we love one another and walk together as we serve you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you all. See you this weekend.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.